In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we're at the bottom of page 6, volume 24, 4, 6, 1928. Now, this is important. This is the symbol of the soul who wants to live in the unity of our divine will. So this is a symbol that all of us can use. Okay? This soul, Louisa first and us linked to Louisa, rises into the sphere of the Son of the eternal fiat. So this Son is our symbol. And what we want to do is make sure that when we want to let anybody know who we are, we just use the Son, you know. So he says, so that the sphere of the Son of that eternal fiat, which contains so much light that no one can escape it and possesses all the seeds of the lives of all souls, past, present, and future. So what God is doing is he's asking us to be like the Son. Now, there's four stages of the divine will. The first stage is you're inside the house with the windows closed. That's basically Protestantism. The Protestants love God. They praise God. They glorify God. They know sacred scripture. But they don't have the full deposit of faith. The Catholic faith is in the house with the window open and the sunlight can come in. Here you have the Blessed Mother. The body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Here you have the sacraments, the sacramentals. You have the vicar of Christ on earth. You have the full deposit of faith. The third is where we are, the third stage of the divine will. And that's, you have the book of heaven. And what does that mean? That means you go outside into the sun. So from the window, this is what the saints were inside looking out and they go, oh, there's a mountain over there and there's a stream over there and there's some clouds up there and there's the valley down there. And I got a pot of a flower in my window and it's growing. Well, the divine will is your outside. And there's the mountains and the hills. You look at 360 degrees. You look, to the heavens and down as low as you want. Everything around us is God is saying, now, I don't want you just to have a plant in your window. I want you to have fields to sow, oceans to swim in, you know, skies to fly in. The one thing is keep your continuous flight in the divine will. The fourth stage is where nobody is, only Louisa. Jesus and Mary have it, they possess it, Louisa possesses it. But the fourth stage is leaving the earth and entering into the sun. And Jesus says all the saints would be like a halo around the sun. You ever seen the sun with a halo around it? That's the saints. The saints are around the sun, adoring the sun, praising the sun, glorifying the sun. I mean, they're so beautiful. He says, but Jesus says the children of the divine will enter into the sun and participate in God. That's where we're going. We're going to be so absorbed in paradise, if you want to say, adoring God, loving God, praising God, being the voice, the I love you for all of creation. Every leaf on a tree is an I love you. And Jesus says, I want to hear the I love you of mankind. So when we do our rounds, this is what we're doing. I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. It's to enter into paradise, to begin to hear, see, smell, touch, and taste the I love yous that heaven is all about, that paradise is all about. And so that's what God is doing. He's showing us, you enter into the sphere of the Son of that eternal fiat, which contains so much light that no one can escape it and possess all the seeds, all that is there in the lives of the creatures. That's where God wants us to be. It's not just about being good and holy and saintly. That's what the saints did in a saintly human manner. Jesus is now saying, I want you to enter into sharing in divinity. Being that drop of water that falls into the cup filled with wine, that drop of water is no longer water. It becomes wine. God wants us to share in his divinity. So its light goes about investing and molding everyone. And it prays that each one may receive the divine life, the divine beauty, the divine sanctity wanted by God. by their Creator. And the soul, from that sphere, from the center of the sun, becomes of all and gives herself to all and repeats, she repeats God's act, the prime act of God, which is one, and that one act of God has the virtue of doing everything and giving itself to everyone, as if each one is at its one's disposal, as if all were one. It's like one's own. You become one with God in this gift of the divine will. So when you look at the sun, Jesus is saying to us, I want you to leave everything and enter into me. I want you to be ready to leave everything. Now, in our life, what happens in our life is each Lent we give up something. I remember I told you once before when we were in the seminary, the professor said, when I was 14 at the time, he says, give up something each Lent. So by the time you're 80, you've given up everything. You're ready to give up your heartbeat. You're ready to give up your breath. You're ready to give up everything for the glory of God. And see, that's what we're doing. Here on earth, it's not just to be good and holy and saintly. That's easy. It's to enter into the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That's what God is looking for. That's what God wants. So it says very clearly, it says, and the soul from that sphere entering into the sun becomes of all and gives herself to all. And she repeats God's prime act as is one. That one act has the virtue of doing everything and giving itself to everyone, as if each one had its one disposal and it were one's own. It were to be like God. This is what's coming. It's not we become gods. See, the lie of Lucifer was, if you eat of the fruit, you will become gods. That's a lie. That's the New Age movement. You'll become gods. No, it's to become like God, image and likeness. That's what God is planning on. That's why he has given us this gift of the divine will, because it's going to happen. You wait. What's coming is so spectacular. What's coming is so magnificent. The human mind can't understand it. We're going to have to enter into this gift that no eye has seen, no ear has heard. It's into a gift that the saints didn't even know about. It's to enter into the image and likeness of God. So this is what Jesus says, volume 24, 4, 20, 12, 19, 28. Just as my death was necessary, so was my resurrection necessary to my divine love. Because by doing his human will, Adam lost the life of my divine will, and I, God, wanted to rise again to form not only the resurrection of the body, but the resurrection of the life of my will in the soul, in the body. Had I, God, not risen again, the creature could not have risen once again in my fiat. She would have lacked the virtue, lacked the bond of her resurrection in mine. And therefore, my love would have felt incomplete. It would have felt as if I could do more, but I was, as a God, I was not able to do it. So I would have had remained in the hard martyrdom of a love that is not complete. And see, God has to do this. He is all powerful. It's not that he can't do it. He is going to do it. Oh, happy fall of Adam. What's coming is so magnificent. God, it would have felt it could do more, but could not do it. God has to do this. So what God has done for Louisa, he has to give to us as much as we want or as little as we want. He says, and therefore I, God, would have had remained with the hard martyrdom of a divine love that was not complete. That if then ungrateful man does not make use of all I, God, have done, the evil is all his own. But my divine love possesses and enjoys its full triumph. So he's saying, God's going to do this. If man doesn't want it, it's because of evil. And he's saying to us, I want to purify you. I want to purify the church. I want to purify the world so that you could have this gift. That is, it is the gift of gifts. It's to begin to live this abundant life. Vine 24, 426, 1928. My daughter, a pure, holy, and upright love is a divine birth. Now, this is what Jesus does. Now, you have to understand, for some of us, God is already doing this. I'm not including myself in this. He's causing us to die each day. And what does he do? He causes us to die through our families, our friends, our neighbors, through finances, through sickness, through he's causing us to die. Why? He says to Louisa. Louisa kept on saying, "You kill me every day, but you raise me up back to life every day. Why?" And Jesus says, "Because I love to see you born again." And that's what he says here. My daughter, a pure and holy and upright life is a divine birth. So that means we have to die. Okay? We die to our ego and our will. We die to our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. It's not ours anymore. And then when we worry, Jesus says, you've got to die to this. It can't be alive in you. So what's happening is little by little, he's having us go through deaths, you know, and I'm not talking about physical deaths, but death of worry, death of fear, death of anxiety. It's to say, I no longer want to worry. I trust you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. I have hope in you, Jesus. So what does he do? He gives us sicknesses. He gives us physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings. And then he says, I want you to die. Why? Why? He says, because I want you to be born again. More beautiful, more perfect, more holy than before. So these little deaths that we go throughout the day, through every day, these little deaths that we go through brings us to perfection. So he says this, it comes out of God and has the virtue of rising and entering into God, this birth, to multiply these births from God and to bring God himself to each creature who yearns to love him divinely, not humanly. Therefore, when the soul is invested by this divine love and receives this birth, the soul can form many other births for as many times as she says her, I love you. Now, that's one of the things that is so amazing. When you do your prevening act in the morning, when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the main thing that you can do with every heartbeat is, I love you. I love you. I love you. Every breath, I love you. Every blink of your eye, I love you. It's to begin to enter into this divine I love you. And Jesus says very clearly, he says that the saint Mary Alacoche, he says that no love is not loved. Jesus is alone and abandoned in the Blessed Sacrament. Now we, if we have the internet, we can go to savior.org and we can be with Jesus every day. That host that looks like bread and tastes like bread is God. And he can come to your house. You see the time we're living in? John Paul II in the 80s said, I want every parish to have Eucharistic adoration 24 hours a day. How many parishes have that? See, but Jesus says, okay, who wants to obey? I can give you, Jesus says, I can be in your house every day if you wish. A lot of times what people do is just on their screen, there is Jesus, worthy to be adored. And you can talk to him and he talks to you. He is the Word of God. He is speaking to you. He wants to tell you of his great love. He wants to hear from you your I love you. And that's what's being said here. This receives this birth and she can form many other births for as many times as she says, I love you. I love you, 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 I love you. To Jesus forever. That's heaven. That's ecstasy. To enter into this I love you is so important for the little children of the Holy Divine Will. In such a way that her I love you flies before God and the Supreme Being looks inside the I love you that the creature sends to him. And in that little I love you, Jesus finds all of himself. And Jesus feels he is being given all of himself by a human. Do you see what God is doing? This is a glorious time. The church always said that one person in front of the Blessed Sacrament represents all of mankind. In the divine will, Jesus hears every human praying when we're praying in the divine will, every human praying with our voice. This is every, you can do, is not only if you read in volume 35, it says, or was it 36? I forgot. Louisa says, may every soul that comes to the day, every soul that's born, may that soul be a baptized Catholic. And Jesus says, it is accomplished. That's how quick. See, it's Jesus' prayer that Louisa is praying. So when now sister, Aunt Rosaria, Father Bucci's aunt, she was given the mission by Jesus to pray for every miscarriage, for every abortion, for every baby that was conceived but didn't make it. Can you imagine what this means? That everything that's happening, all these I love yous, especially today with abortion so prevalent, it's everybody is now praising God and loving God and glorifying God. How? Not only every baby that's born, but every baby that was conceived and not born. This is great things are around the corner. God has got such great plans, and He needs us to cooperate. He needs us to allow Him to be God. Now, what is the Catholic life? It's the universal life that was breathed into Adam. It's the life of God. See, now what God's saying is everybody's going to become Catholic. Everybody's going to have this universal life. Why? There's not many religions. I mean, look what happened in, 1054, the church split. And you had the East and the West, and then 500 years later with the Reformation and the church split. And now, because of the Reformation, there's 40,000 denominations. God doesn't want that. What does He say at the Last Supper? There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. This prayer is going to happen, and it's going to happen because of Louisa. The first person who will live in the divine will next to Louisa will be the Holy Father. How do we know this? This is what Jesus says, or Louisa says to us in the three appeals. You, Holy Father, you represent the Catholic Church. Therefore, you represent the divine will, and you will be the first, the first to live in the fullness of this gift. Don't criticize the Pope. God's got plans, and don't be negative. You know, you can pray. You can pray for the priests and the bishops. You have to remember, St. Teresa of Avila says, the pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of priests. That's the pavement of hell. Why? Jesus says, if you mislead one little one, let's listen to all the homilies. You mislead one little one. The best thing for you is have a millstone around your neck and cast into the sea. That's the best thing for you. You got to pray for priests and bishops. They're going to be severely punished, and because God wants, He wants His kingdom to be established. He's going to use the priests. He's going to use the bishops to bring this about. But the first one that He will use is the Holy Father. So pray that this Holy Father, I hope it's this one, might be the next, that he begin to enter into this gift. What does He say? What does Jesus say? He says the Supreme Being looks inside your I love you. And that the creature sends to Him. In that little I love you, Jesus finds all of Himself. And then God feels He is being given all of Himself by the soul who wants to live in the divine will. You see what God is doing? How can you not be filled with joy? How can you not be filled with happiness? This intimacy that God is calling you to. Volume 24, 520, 1928. I was concerned because of a circular letter that I received from the House of the Divine Will, so much wanted by Venerable Father de Francia, and so longed for by him who did not have the consolation of seeing it completed and opened for the purpose wanted by him. Okay, so he is the one. The volumes are to be given to the world, Jesus says, through St. Honorable de Francia. That's why we have him here. He is very important. And even though he died before he read 1 through 36, it's his job and he's going to do it from heaven. So she says, now I'm upset about this letter. And now finally, according to what the circular said, the day of its completion, probably near, was arising. So I thought to myself, is it really true that it is the will of God for me to go there? See, what was happening is they said, Louisa, you have to come to Messina. And she says, Jesus told her she'd never leave Corrado. You can never leave Corrado. I love Corrado so much. Jesus says, you, Louisa, will never leave that place. And what's happened is she gets this letter. She says, Jesus, I mean, think about it. Here's a little soul, and she reads she's going to be moving to Messina. She says, is it true, the little daughters of the divine will? Shall they have a beginning of the rising of the new era of the divine king, the kingdom of the supreme fiat upon earth? And then Jesus says, Louisa, you must know. And he says that to us, that everything has been determined by the supreme being, prayers, acts, pains, sighs, and the creature must do in order to obtain what we, triune God, ourselves want to give to the soul as she longs. That she longs to receive. So, if these acts are not performed, the longed-for sun does not rise from us in the midst of a long night of the human will to form the day of the kingdom of the divine fiat. What's he saying is, you got to say fiat. Okay, here she thought she was going to do one thing. So, if you want to receive the kingdom of the divine will, do not stop. Otherwise, since the long chain of acts has reached up to the throne would be missing, you shall not obtain what you want. And what we triune God want to give. The acts are like the hours that form the day or the night. Each hour has its place. Some hours form the evenings, others the deep night, others the dawn, others rising of the sun, others the full day. And if it is the midnight hour, in vain would one accept to see the sun rise. One expect the sun to rise. If it is necessary that at least the dawn comes to the core of the nearing day, so in order to see the majesty of the sun that dispels the darkness with his empire of light, putting an end to the night, the pearls of nature that and makes it rise again in its light and its heat, molding everything with its beneficial effects. Now, if it is perhaps the dawn that has the hour for making this, is it perhaps the dawn that has all the honor of making the sun rise? No. The dawn has been the last hour, but if the other hours had not preceded it, the dawn would never have said, I am she who calls for the day. Such are the acts of the prayers of obtaining the rising of the day of the kingdom by divine will. They are like many hours. Each one has its place of honor, and they hold hands among themselves in calling the refulgent sun of my divine will. And the final act can be like the dawn if it is not performed. If the dawn shall be missing, it is useless to hope for the day of light to arise soon upon the earth, which, molding and warming everything more than sun, shall make its beneficial effects in its divine regime felt, a regime of divine light and divine love and divine sanctity. So he's saying basically everything has to happen. If they say it's morning and it's really night, it's not going to happen. And it's the same thing for us. Don't make plans. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I got to make sure of this. I got to say to Jesus, what do you want? How do you want this done? It's when you make plans, you will be disappointed. You know, it's many people enter this. So he says it happens in redemption. Redemption did not come for many centuries because the patriots and prophets found themselves with their act in the night hours and from afar they longed for the day. As Mary, the Queen of the Virgin, came, she formed the dawn, embracing all the night hours together. She made the day of the world arise upon the earth, and the redemption was accomplished. Therefore, do not stop. The series of acts is so necessary that there is a risk that, if not all of them are performed, the desired good is not obtained. I believe that what Jesus is asking in this is that we pray the calendar every day. I really do believe this is one of the acts that is necessary, that a group of the little children of the Holy Divine Will pray together every day for 1 year, begging God, pleading with God, that the kingdom could be established on earth as in heaven. And because of that being performed, the desired good is going to occur. Think about it. It's not your family. It's not your friends. It's not your neighbors. It's not your coworkers. It's not your parishioners who want this. Nobody wants this. It's you. And so together, the little children of the Holy Divine Will, you watch what's going to happen. At the end of this year, we go through these 365 days praying together, the same prayers together. Can you imagine what God is going to do in the divine will? 524, 526, 28. There is always someone who knocks and asks that the doors be open so that my divine will may descend to reign upon earth. And since everything is established in the order and ordered by the divinity, it awaits the one, this is Louisa, who must give the strongest knock, who, forcing the doors with its invincible strength, the very strength of my divine will, shall open wide the doors, and with her sweet chains of love shall bind the eternal will to make it come to reign in the midst of creatures. That's Louisa. And we are knocking on the door with Louisa. If this is, what does he say? Louisa and those linked to Louisa must give the strongest knock, forcing the doors with invincible strength. It's God that's doing this. The very strength of my divine will to open wide the doors so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. She shall be like a bride who, bejeweling the groom with her loving chains, shall carry him as though in triumph in the midst of creatures. And just as the Holy Virgin Mary put an end to the night hours of the patriarchs and prophets and formed the dawn to make the Son of the eternal word rise, so shall Louisa, the one to form the dawn, Louisa, to make the divine will son, to make the son of the Thea Voluntas to come on earth as it is in heaven. Louisa's doing this. You have to understand. This could not have, let's just think about this. In 1997, Our Lady speaking to her beloved priest, the Father Gobi, the last thing she said in December was, everything is completed. 1997, what happened? 1996, the writings came out of the Vatican. Everything's done. Everything's ready. Everything's going to begin very shortly. You have to understand the urgency that God is asking of us. There's no time to wait. That's the three things that the devil does. The devil says to people, I don't exist. And people believe that. If they don't believe that, he says hell doesn't exist. And more people believe hell doesn't exist than they believe the devil doesn't exist. And the third, if they still say, yes, hell exists, the devil exists, the third is there's plenty of time. You can do this tomorrow. That's a lie. Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation said, time has now come to an end. You have to understand, there's an urgency on God's part. We have two popes. I mean, this, you got to understand what's going on. Everything is happening. The Vatican, what's going on in the Vatican, it's a clean. God's cleaning out the stable, if you want to say. It's getting rid of all the bad stuff. Things are happening. In the United States, things are happening. If you're really listening to what's going on with this president, you are filled with hope because great things are right around the corner. And that's because of the little children in the holy divine will. 524, 6, 7, 28. Therefore, in coming to reign, the first thing that my divine will shall knock down shall be the human will. That's what he's doing with each and every one of us. He's saying, stop it. He's saying, I've got divine life for you. I want to fill you with abundant life. And blowing, it shall dispel the clouds, and man shall let himself be directed by the three suns, intellect, memory, and human will. Our intellect, we will begin to see things from a divine perspective, from Jesus' point of view. Our memory will not be of me, what they said about me, what they did to my family. It's the memory of Jesus. The more we pray the Holy Rosary, the more we're going to learn who Jesus Christ is. The more we read the volumes, our memory is going to be filled with Jesus and Mary. And finally, the human will. The human will is going to say, I don't want to live like this any longer. So what is the human will? The human will is what we say every week when we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live this life any longer. That's our human will. I don't want to live that life any longer. I want to use my free will to choose to live in God's holy divine will. Do you see what God's doing? It's dispelling the clouds. And man will himself will be directed by the three sons, the intellect, memory, will, that he has in the depth of his soul, that possession of God's communication. And immediately he shall rise to our origin, and everything shall be feast and glory for the triune God and for man. Do you see what's coming? The wedding feast is coming. Now, the other thing, too, is if you have a ring, you know, get the ring blessed and accept the proposal of Jesus. God came to earth for a bride. Accept this proposal from the Lord. And wear the ring. And when you look at the ring, say, I belong to Jesus. He proposed to me. This is men and women. Because the soul is feminine, whether it's a man or a woman. And so you wear the ring and you say, I accept your proposal. I want this heavenly kingdom. I want to be married to you, Lord, for all eternity. The wedding feast, that's what it's all about. God and man become one. This is what's happening. This is what's coming. So Jesus says, and immediately he shall rise back to God, full circle back to God, to our origin. And everything shall be feast, everything shall be glory for the triune God and for mankind. Volume 24, 7:28. Our kingdom was for us, for us only, okay? The triune God. Because of the order of creation, the royalty of man was not restored. However, by the celestial mother, I, Jesus, living wholly of divine will, was the seed was sown, the yeast was formed, so as to make our kingdom arise and grow upon the earth. Therefore, all the preparations were made, all the graces were impetrated, all the pains suffered. Why? So that the kingdom of my divine fiat might come to reign upon earth. This is why Nazareth can be called the point of recall. Nazareth is the point of recall of the kingdom of our most holy divine will. Now, as a third order Benedictine, our houses, our prayer groups become little houses of Nazareth. So you should have a picture or a statue or a image of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I always like to put Louisa in Jesus' lap because Louisa is the newborn. But this house of Nazareth is how we're going to begin to live. We're going to be in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of Mary through little Louisa. This is what's coming. Volume 24, 7:23-28. My daughter, the soul in whom my divine will is present is the luminous point in the world. And in Syracuse, I remember we gave, at that time we had 150 people there. A lot of them just left or maybe went to heaven, I'm not sure. But I remember that night I said to the group, I said, I want to tell you, the light that's coming from this Syracuse is the biggest fire that Syracuse has ever seen. All of heaven, all of hell sees this light. That's what's happening. The soul in whom my divine will is present is the luminous point in the world. That night after the prayer meeting, the candle factory burnt down in Syracuse. The paper the next day says was the biggest fire ever in Syracuse. And it was the devil saying, oh yeah, I'll show you a light. I'll show you destruction. You have to understand, the children of the divine will have a special light. You know, when you drive at night and you see these blue lights coming at you, these bright lights, that's what the demons see with the little children of the holy divine will. They see a light that usually isn't there. This is what Jesus is saying. The soul in whom my divine will is present is the most luminous point in the world. There is more light coming from this place here, like Colleen was mentioning, because of the divine will, than any other place, I would say, in New York State. Maybe if there's another divine will group going on somewhere, there's light there. But this is so beautiful. It is so perfect that the angels are around in awe. What are they in awe of? They're in awe of Jesus speaking to Louisa, which we're reading. Jesus, the Son of God, the Word of God, is speaking. All of heaven hears this. When we read, now think about this, going back to the calendar, when all the people are reading this from all over the world, the calendar, what's happening at that point? Light is being shown every single day, all over the world. This light is driving the devil out. He can't stay. He can't stay here. These children can be called the fortunate points of the earth because in their midst there is a divine light that never dims, the divine life that always rises. This soul is the true queen that dominates everything. This soul gives peace to everyone and does good to everyone and is well liked by everyone, past, present, and future. While she does good to everyone, she has no need, she has need of no one because the source of my divine will that the soul possesses makes all goods arise within her. There's no need. There's no need for us. Everything's being given to us. Peace, joy, and happiness. Healing, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional healings are coming upon us. What is coming is so magnificent. What's coming is so beautiful that the demons are going to be screaming as they leave. There's only one person, basically, who's upset about what's coming. You hear all these people saying it's the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. It's a new beginning for mankind. The demons are going to leave. They can't be here. They have to go. What's coming is the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. In us, in our families, with our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our parishioners, and our nation, and the world. Everything is happening. Volume 24, 8, 12, 19, 28. Now, Louisa, the one who lives in my divine will, rises back into the acts of Adam innocent, making the universal life and virtue her own. Louisa makes his act her own. Everything that Adam has done now is happening with and through and for Louisa. Not only this, but as Louisa rises back into the acts of the Queen of Heaven, the Blessed Mother, and those of her very Creator, and flowing in all the acts, she centralizes herself in them and says, "Everything is mine, and I give everything to my God. Just as the divine will is mine, so everything is mine. Everything has come out of the divine will, having nothing of my own. I am nothing, nothing of my own. With its fiat, I have everything. I possess and give to God, God to God. Oh, how happy, how glorious, how victorious I feel in the eternal will. I now possess everything. I can give everything without exhausting anything of my immense riches." Image and likeness. Jesus says this. Mary says this. Louisa says this. And we can say this. So you have to enter into this life. If you say, "Well, this isn't for me," God says, "Absolutely, it's not for you. You can't say fiat." If you say, "This is never going to happen," God says, "That's right, it's never going to happen for you." See, you have to enter into this. What you read, you begin to live. Think about that. Everything is mine. And I give everything to my God. I praise Him. I love Him. I bless Him. I thank Him. I worship Him. And just as the divine will is mine, so everything is mine. Everything has come out of the divine will. Having nothing of my own, I am nothing. God is everything. With its fiat, I have everything. I give God to God. Oh, how happy, glorious, victorious I feel in the eternal will of God. I possess everything. And I can give everything without exhausting anything of these immense riches that God has given to me. God wants us to enter into this. He it's not just to wait, "Well, someday this will happen." Well, the Jesus said, "I can wait centuries for this to happen." Who's entering into this, Jesus says? I know Louisa has done it. Who has entered into this? Now, we've been reading, we've been studying. Now we have to put this into practice. You cannot be miserable if you believe this. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativity. There's no sin if you really believe this. Do you see what God is doing? He's getting us ready for the kingdom. But He says the kingdom of God is within you. He wants that to happen. He wants us to recognize it. And the one He has given to us is Louisa. Don't. You're the only one that can stop this. For you. If you say your fiat, I want this, you become peaceful, joyful, and happy. You don't control anyone and no one controls you. You begin to live a life that is of God. You're filled with joy and happiness. Yeah, this is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to understand that this gift is the gift of gifts. It is the prodigy of prodigies. 5:24, 9:2, 19:28. We place the created things as members of man so that possessing the reason of these members, he would use them in order to rise back again, to go back to God. And within these veils, to find God who dwells inside of them as King. When you go to Holy Communion, you enter into the Holy of Holies of your soul with Jesus. You can bring the Blessed Mother with you. You can bring your Holy Guardian Angel with you. You can bring Louisa with you. Nobody else is allowed in. And there you adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God and worship God. Holy Communion is the greatest thing that God is giving to us. But it's only the beginning. He wants a perennial communion with us. This is what it says. Within these veils, he finds God who dwells inside of each of us as King, as Lord, as Master, to bring God the glory and the love of these members given to him. God, see, it's to begin to live a life that the saints only dreamed of. 5:24, 9:5, 28. My daughter, as the soul takes on the commitment of wanting to convert all human acts into my divine will, she forms her rays that expanding take the earth as though in their power and rising up to heaven, more than solar rays that invest the sun of my divine will, and plunging into it, they form one single sun, such that as they form as though in a contest of light, everything, heaven and earth, undergo the enchantment and the eclipse of the sun of my divine will, and even my divine justice is eclipsed by this divine light in such a way that many scourges are spared. Your family is going to be okay. What you have to understand is you have to enter into this for them to be okay. If you don't enter into this, God help them. God help them. But if you enter into, this is what he's saying. Heaven and earth will undergo this enchantment of the eclipse of the sun of my divine will in you, in me, and even the divine justice is eclipsed by this divine light of the sun of the divine will in such a way that many scourges will be spared. Your family will be spared. But if you don't do this, who's going to do it for them? Who's going to do it for the world? Who's going to do it for the children of God all throughout the world? God is waiting for us to do this. So he says, you must know, this is a command from Jesus, that each act, each word done by the soul in my divine will are pebbles that she casts into the sea that rippling overflow outside for the good of everyone, past, present, and future. So God is showing you things in your own family. So why? So that you will say, I give up everything for the divine will to reign. For everybody, not just for my family. Jesus is saying, who is praying for my children? Who is praying for my children? Well, I'm stuck on praying for my family. God says, that's not good enough. Who's praying for all the children? Your family is assigned to you that he wants you to live this because they're lost. One venial sin will keep a soul out of heaven. Other times there are many breezes. They are like breezes which the sea of my fiat swells and forms its waves more and less high according to the multiplicity of the breezes of the creatures form in my sea. And these waves, while they rise, descend again, part into the sea and part flooding the earth. And oh, how delightful it is to see the creature now coming to the cast her pebble into the sea, our sea, our ocean of love, and now coming to as though blow foam, foaming her breeze. The sea smiles at her by rippling, making feast for her by receiving the breeze and forming the waves. So we're participating in this infinite ocean of God's love. So Louisa, the soul who lives in my divine will and operates in my divine fiat, gives us, Triune God, the occasion to make our sea rise and gives us the field to flood the earth and heaven. This is what's coming. It's a whole new beginning that's happening for mankind. A whole new beginning for your family, for your friends, for your neighbors, for your co-workers. See, the eyes are going to be opened. What does Jesus say? When we see Louisa, the earth is going to shudder. Earth is going to shake. Because we're going to see a soul who lives in God's holy divine will. And what does he say that then? He says, then they will begin to understand what it means to live in the divine will. Such great things are right around the corner. Don't be caught off guard. Don't be blind to what's happening. Read. As you read this, as you study this, God is getting you ready for the kingdom. God is getting you ready so that his kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.